Welcome to the Callaway Golf Podcast, part of the Callaway Podcast Network. Here's your host, Jeff Newbarth.
Welcome to the Callaway Golf Podcast, special Friday edition. We don't get to do this often, but it's not often that we have Phil Mickelson joining us on the podcast. Phil, thanks so much for spending a little bit of time with us before the big match this weekend.
My pleasure to be on. I'm excited about this match this weekend.
Yeah, so full disclosure, we are taping this on a Monday before either of us are flying to Florida. And look, one of the main points that I just want to say off the bat is that kudos to WarnerMedia, Turner Sports, everybody involved with this. Safety is first, second, third, and fourth, both to ensure the safety of the crew that's working it and also to you guys, the players. Well done. And then charity is going to be the real winner. So let's just hit this right off the bat. Talk about the charitable opportunity that everyone is going to have this weekend.
So this is an exciting thing for us to use our platform to help those in need, to help those that are on the front line, that are our medical practitioners that are helping us, healthcare practitioners taking care of so many people in need, but also the other people affected, small businesses and such. There are a lot of people that are being affected by this, and it's such a good feeling to be able to use our platform to help others and raise millions of dollars for those in need. And to be a part of this and play with such great champions like Tiger, greatest player of all time, and the Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, too, the best at what they do, it's a real pleasure to be able to have this opportunity to do that, have fun doing it, and hopefully entertain those watching. Also have some things that we're playing for in addition to money that we might even care about more so than that.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll get to that in a second. 3 o'clock Eastern, noon for those of you on the West Coast, TNT, TBS, Headline News, and True TV. You have four different options to watch it, so no excuse not to tune in. Let's go back to the first match, you and Tiger in Shadow Creek. What's your biggest memory from match number one?
So I love the fact that I won. That was a great memory. I remember I thought I was going to win 2-1 on 17 when Tiger chipped in from off the green, and I ended up missing a 15-foot putt that I thought I was going to make for birdie. We ended up going extra holes, and I was fortunate enough to win. As I look back on that match, we clammed up. We tightened up. We didn't talk very much the back nine because we were playing for $9 million, and you're naturally going to get a little tighter. And I think this match is going to be more entertaining and more fun because we have partners, which we can talk through each other's shots. And we have great smack talkers in Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, as well as Tiger, but we have more interaction. And we won't need the commentators to fill a lot of the dead time because we'll be talking through a lot of it. We'll be talking through our shots, talking about strategy and so forth, but also interacting more with each other. And I think having the non-golfers, professional golfers, I should say, because they're really good, Peyton and Tom, having them a part of this should have more of a entertainment value too.
Yeah, so why Tom and Peyton? I mean, obviously we've seen what they've done on the golf course, but you know them better than the person who's listening to this podcast right now. Why are they the perfect fits for this?
They're the perfect fit because they are entertaining. They're good golfers. They're comparable golfers. They're very similar handicaps. They kind of transcend their sport. Well, they certainly transcend their sport. They love golf, and they want to help others. And so we also have a rapport between Tiger and Peyton, myself and Brady. We have a rapport where we're comfortable with each other to where we can kind of talk smack. But the great thing about it is that when we do, it's not an in-your-face response or attack that elicits a defensive response. Like when Peyton gives you a hard time or roughs you up, you laugh with him because it's funny and it doesn't come across attacking as much as it does funny. And I think that type of personality is what's perfect for this match because we're trying to help others. We're not trying to compete for millions of dollars for ourselves. We're doing it for others. We want to entertain everyone while helping those in need.
One thing that I know I learned from the first match, and I'm lucky enough to be able to produce this one after producing the first one, is we didn't know how to handle the two of you mic'd up, meaning that your mics were there and they were either on or they were off and it wasn't following the video or whatever. So what we've done, and we sort of actually watched what the XFL did this year, and they had a person whose sole job was to listen to the four mics and mix the right mics at the right time. And we will have way more cameras that we can put on you guys because in the golf carts that you guys are going to be riding in, you have the NASCAR in-car camera systems. So if you're talking to Tom and he's in his cart and you're in your cart, we'll be able to see, but we'll be able to mix that. The audio banter, I think, is going to be the star of this thing. And that's so different than normal tournament golf. But what are you, you know, looking for someone to be able to hear? Like going into a shot routine, because you're not going to have your brother there, Tim, caddying for you. You're going to be, you know, kind of, are you going to be talking through it? Or is that something you're going to be helping Tom with?
So I think Tom and I will both be each other's caddies as well as playing partners. We're going to talk strategy because the front nine using a best ball format will allow us to be aggressive. We're going to talk about certain shots off the tee, but using a modified modified alternate shot on the back, it's going to be important on how we strategize and what clubs we hit off the tee and who's going to hit the shot in and make the putt and so forth. So you're going to see a lot of strategy and interaction in that regard. But also when we get up by the green, I think you're going to see a little bit more between like myself and Peyton. Like I feel more comfortable giving Peyton a harder time than I do Tiger, because Tiger in golf, you don't do that in a tournament. We do it in practice rounds, but not a real tournament with something real on the line. And so having a guy like Peyton there or Tom, who in their sport, it's more natural to have smack talk during the game. We don't do that in golf really, other than again, practice rounds, that I feel like that's going to free us up a little bit and we'll have a little bit more banter that we would normally have when we do play practice rounds or play with our friends.
And I do think the modified alternate shot is going to be so fascinating. That'll be on the second nine because, you know, we've been talking about it as a production crew. Would you rather have Phil hit from 180 yards, maybe not even in the fairway, maybe in like a gentle first cut, or Tom Brady hit from the center of the fairway at 110, knowing that the opposite person's going to have to putt? Have you and Tom started to strategize on this?
So I've played some with Tom, and he's a good putter. Like, I think the strength, let's say he's an 8 handicap. Well, he is an 8 handicap, but he putts like a 2 handicap, okay? He drives at the accuracy of an 18 handicap, but the distance of a scratch. So you have to take all these components and kind of factor that in. Whereas if I can give him, you might have to look at the margin of error and what shots are we going to have if we were to miss it or miss the green, or if he were to miss his shot, because he has the potential to miss big with the big clubs, but he's pretty good with the shorter ones, with the wedges, the short irons, the putter, and if we can play to his strength, I think we have a chance to go to Tiger's home course and beat him.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Tiger playing on his home course, what type of advantage do you think that gives him, and how do you negate that advantage?
Well, to me, it's funny because we wanted to hold this at another site, but Tiger insisted that we go to his home course, and I understand why. He didn't like that I beat him the first time, and he wants every advantage possible. He takes the lower handicap, Peyton Manning, who's a 4, gives me the one that's an 8, and he goes to insists that we go to his home course over at anyone else. Now, I love that about him. I respect that about him, that he's looking for every little edge. But from my point of view, I'm the defending champion of the match, and I have the belt to prove it. I'm going to go down to his home course, and I have nothing to lose now because even though I'm defending, I'm going to his place. Everybody expects him to come back and win. He has a better, supposedly a better partner for golf game wise. But I think Tom and I are going to go down there with nothing to lose, freewheel it, play well, and have the ability to give him a bad memory at his home course.
All right, I'm not going to ask you to give it to us right now, but can you at least give our listeners a hint? Is there going to be something prideful at stake here that's something you're not going to want to lose, that's going to be a little extra motivational?
There will. It will be non-monetary. But it will be something that I don't want to have to do, and he doesn't want to have to do. And you'll see our same intensity on the golf course because of it.
All right. Let's transition a little bit to what's going on in the bigger world of golf. How excited are you for the PGA Tour to return? Yesterday, I was watching the match down at Seminole, and I saw these commercials that was next on the tee and stuff, and it's talking about Colonial. Are you excited for the tour to make a return?
So the thing I'm excited about seeing the PGA Tour return is what this could do for the game of golf, because right now the courses where I'm playing in San Diego and Arizona, they're packed because people are wanting to get outside, they want to do sports, they want to be active, they want to hang with their friends, and the only place to do it and do it safely is on the golf course. I have a feeling that the summer rounds are going to skyrocket. Hopefully we'll get a lot of new golfers or people that play only once or twice a year playing a few times a week maybe or a month. I think we're going to have the ability to offset some of the lost revenue from a manufacturer's point of view for the last couple of months and make up for it this summer. I think we're going to see a lot more people walking. I've noticed that our clubs without carts, everybody's walking, enjoying the time. We're seeing members come out and play because most of the clubs are so slammed that it's members only. I think this could be a thing that helps the game of golf because it offers something during this pandemic that other sports don't, which is a safe environment to be with your friends and be interactive and have some competition and camaraderie.
Yeah, and I think that what we're seeing is that even the people who played a lot are now playing, you know, more and more and more. The more that you kind of took something away that you took for granted when someone called you and said, hey, do you want to play Friday afternoon? It's like, oh, I have this other opportunity. Now it's like when someone offers you a chance to play golf, you jump on it. You've won both the Scottish Open and the Open Championship, two of the many events that have been canceled. Are you excited in future years to be able to get back overseas and play where, you know, especially St. Andrews is now going to be a year later, you know, birthplace of the game?
I am excited to get back. The Scottish and the British Open are two events that mean a lot to me because it's links golf and it's fun, different style of golf that we played, and I'm honored to have won it, won both of them in 2013. It was one of my highlights of my career, and I'm looking forward to getting back there next year. I'm sorry that they were both canceled this year.
All right. Everyone always wants to know about equipment tinkering with you. Going into the match, and again, we're recording this before you've set, you know, foot at Medalist and have seen the golf course. What are you thinking equipment wise?
So there's the setup is very similar. I have the Apex Pro short iron 8-9 wedge, and then I have the forged Epic irons that hit the ball a little bit higher for the 4, 5, 6, and 7. The questions that I have are, do I use a 2-iron or a 5-wood? I haven't played the golf course, so I don't know. Do I want to hit that 2-iron that I can hit low? If it's really windy and I need to get the ball down on the ground and run, I'll use the 2-iron. If there's some par 5s or some holes that I need a little bit more carry, I'll use the 5-wood. And then the other question is the putter. Do I use the putter I won the British Open in 2013? It's a little bit heavier mallets, the Odyssey number 9 with that with the white-black Versa technology, and then I ended up also putting the White Hot XG blade in my bag too, but that's a little bit lighter, and if it's calm or if the greens are really fast, I might use that, but I also might use the Odyssey number 9. So I like going back and forth between the two.
Have you been during this kind of, you know, probably one of the longer breaks you've ever had in your career, not being able to play competitive golf, have you done any equipment tinkering at all other than that, or have you just kind of been trying to refine with what you have?
So I have been working hard on my driver, and I've been kind of looking at all areas to improve it, and I'm really excited with some of the changes that I've made, one in my golf swing setup, one in the driver head itself, as well as the shaft. And going to a slightly softer shaft allows me to square the club head up a lot easier. So my miss with the driver's left. I miss it left. And this slightly softer shaft gets the club head to square up a little bit easier through impact, so I don't have to use my hands as much. And my miss really isn't left anymore. It's actually right, if anything, which is going to take some getting used to. But one of the things that allows me to play a little bit more the way I like to play, which is swinging the club head and not really thinking about positions, it allows me to swing freer with the driver. So those changes, I think, are allowing me to drive it much straighter.
All right, a couple more questions here with Phil Mickelson on the Callaway Golf Podcast. We, of course, want you to rate, review Phil, not me, and subscribe to the podcast so you can get all of our podcast content. We're trying to bring you guys as much good content as we can. Also, Callaway this week, as an official partner of the match, the official equipment partner of the match, is going to be launching a specific webpage, callawaygolf.com/the match. We got very creative in the marketing department with that one, Phil. We're going to have a listed what's in the bag for you, but also we're going to be showing both the commercial spot that you filmed with us with our partners at Dick's Sporting Goods, where you kind of had a little fun with people and a little bit of behind the scenes. Do you like showing off humor in TV commercials?
I think it's fun. I think it's important to get your personality out a little bit more because people can come across dry, and there are a lot of golfers that are funny, entertaining, that come across on television as being very stoic and not as fun to be around, but that's just not the case. And so these commercials are a great way to let the personality of some of the players out.
One thing, you know, throughout the years when we've worked on some of them together, whether it's the one we did for the British Open, the playing through, you were knocking on the lens, or some of the others, you, for those days, get fully invested into the shoot, and you're contributing ideas to it. You don't just take what's on the piece of paper and say, all right, guys, I can do that. You try to make it better. Is that something that's changed over the years when you've gotten more comfortable doing these things, or is it just something that's just kind of fun and just comes natural to you?
I had a very interesting moment when I shot a commercial for Barclays a few years ago, and one of the Farrelly brothers, who is famous for There's Something About Mary and some great movies, read something. There was a line in there, and it said rule 13-4 of the USGA rule book, and it didn't make sense to me. And I asked him, I said, I don't understand this. And he says, oh, well, you have to read it like a question. Rule 13-4 of the USGA handbook. And it was when the guy was kicking the ball from underneath the rock. You've probably seen it a little bit. And so that opened up my eyes to how many different ways you could read a script and have it change its meaning entirely by what words you stress and your inflection and so forth. And so when I read a script now, I'm trying to see how or think how it was meant to be read, because the way I read it usually is not, and then how it can best be come across to the viewer.
All right. Well, speaking of someone who wants to read you a script, our buddy Solly from No Laying Up has the following question for you.
Hey, Phil. Solly here. A question for you in two parts. If you had to hypothetically dress like Tiger Woods for an entire tournament, what would you choose out of his closet? What would you want to wear? And on the flip side, what is the last thing of any of his looks in history that you would ever want to be seen in public wearing?
So an outfit that I don't want to wear but now want to wear is his red mock turtleneck. Okay, it's totally his shirt. I don't really wear red a lot. I wore a red mock turtleneck years ago, and I was so heavy that it looked awful. But I've lost weight, and now I'm actually okay with it. I kind of want to see what I would look like in that mock red turtleneck. So I'm open to that.
And then Solly's done such a good job. Can we let him ask his other question?
Sure.
All right, here it is.
You're quick to downplay Tiger's trash-talking abilities, but I want to know, what's the best dig he's ever landed on you? What has he ever said to you? What has he ever done that it actually kind of stung a little bit? I know that's painful to answer, but I want to hear it.
Tiger is very subtle in his smack talk, and he has gotten me with big picture. So every time I say, I remember I beat you here at the Deutsche Bank, or I ended up beating you here at AT&T in 2012, blah, 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 he just kind of puts his hands and says, big picture. Now, he got me, and he'll continue to get me. He uses that line. He overuses that line. Yeah, you're the greatest player in the world. You have the best record. Of course, big picture, you know, but let's be creative. Let's come up with something a little bit more insightful. That's your go-to line. He gets me every time with it, of course, but I think he can do better too.
All right. Well, hopefully this Sunday we'll see some of that on display. TNT, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon. One last thing I want to leave you with. I think it's pretty awesome that during the commercial that's going to air within this broadcast that Callaway has, you're making a really special announcement that 10% of all purchases of all Maverick clubs made at Golf Galaxy and Dick's Sporting Goods are going to go to COVID-19 relief. So kudos to Ed Stack. Kudos to Chip Brewer, our CEO. And you're the one who gets to deliver that message to everybody. We're giving you a sneak preview, but you'll see the commercial Sunday during coverage. That's pretty awesome that that's happening.
And makes me very proud to be a part of this great company, Callaway.
All right. Phil Mickelson, thanks so much for spending some time with us on the Callaway Golf Podcast. I believe on Tuesday, Amanda Balionis is going to come on, and we will talk about how the match went. Her role, she's going to be on the golf course with you guys, so she's going to have a unique perspective. We'll bring that to you. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget, like we said, rate, review, and subscribe. We will see you next time on the Callaway Golf Podcast.